The sermon this morning focuses on and thinks about the reading from Hebrews chapter 13, which we just heard. And to begin, I reread from verses 5 and 6. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The main part of the sermon, which reflects on the passage, Hebrews 13, 1 through 5, is on the back side with a couple of blanks. But we have to get up and running a little bit because Hebrews is one sermon. And Galatians is one sermon. And Ephesians is one sermon. And 1 Corinthians is one sermon. But we only take a little part of them sometimes in church. And so to understand this reading from Hebrews, we also have to understand a little bit what is going right beforehand in chapter 12. Which actually was read last week. So just a little bit of the context. One of the things that the writer to the Hebrews is building up in the minds of the people there is that they are in God's kingdom and that they are need to worship God and not neglect worshiping God. One thing we see that was happening among those people is that they were stopping meeting together, coming together. And he was encouraging them that, no, continue to meet together. At the end, towards the end of chapter 12, I have in the notes there, he makes quite a deal in that in the Old Testament, they had the words of God. But God was awesome, and he was, we might use the word, scary. Especially at Mount Sinai, where the very presence of God was there, but they were not allowed to touch the mountain, or even the animals were not allowed to touch the mountain, Mount Sinai, lest they die. The presence of God was there, but it was very fearful. He points out then, in the New Testament, all the more, the presence of God's Son is with us. The incarnate Christ, who has died and risen again, is with us in worship. And it's all the more awesome. But something about what has happened in Jesus is that he says, his blood pleads for us. So it is not a relationship in which we are afraid and we have to earn something, but that Christ has earned it for us. He is the last sacrifice. Yet this revelation of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us is all the more powerful and awesome than what the people had at Mount Sinai and in the Old Testament. And he pleads with the people in chapter 12 of Hebrews, do not refuse him. Do not refuse Jesus. And he concludes in the last part of chapter 12, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Since Christ has died for us, since his presence is with us, since we gather in his name, we praise and thank him for being in this kingdom, and we offer him worship and praise. Something of what just shared with the children is this praise is going on in heaven right now. And in Bible class, we talked about Revelation chapter 4 and 5, where the joy and the worship of Jesus is going on continually. And partly what Hebrews is pointing out is that when we gather, we are part of that. We are part of that joy and praise of Jesus that's going on in heaven right now. Even by our loved ones who have died in the faith and are there right now, we praise and worship God with them in worship. He brings out this encouragement to the people, to the Hebrews, the Christians, that he's writing to. And then in our reading for today, chapter 13, is, okay, so that we worship Jesus, then how else do we live? What else should we do in our life? We're worshiping, and then what about other times in our life and in our daily tasks? He says five things. I'm going to jump to part three if you're following along, and I'll go back. If we worship Jesus and do an acceptable worship of all that he has done for us, then he says, verse 1, brotherly love among us should continue. How can we worship Jesus and not love one another? So brotherly love continues among us. That's part of our life as Christians. When we go away from church or other times of worship and then don't love our brother, what is that? That doesn't reflect our worship of Christ. But we love one another. Brotherly love should continue. And he says in verse 2, and also then, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Give hospitality to everyone. Isn't that something? Love one another. And the writer says, and hospitality to everyone, even strangers. Maybe especially to strangers. See, it's a Christian thing to do that. For oftentimes, as Jesus said in the readings, oh, we invite people, and we know that if we invite them to our wedding feast, they'll invite us to their wedding feast. If we do a favor for somebody, then they might do a favor for us. And Jesus says, when you invite people, invite the stranger, invite the blind, invite the poor, somebody who can't pay you back. Think of that. When the writer to the Hebrews says, give hospitality to everyone, especially the stranger, help those who can't necessarily help you or can't pay you back. Give freely. Let brotherly love continue. And give freely and hospitality, especially to the stranger. The third thing, verse 3, he says, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated since you also are in the body. Remember those in prison and those mistreated, especially the Christians. What we see happening here is one reason these people to whom this letter is written were stopping to gather is that the church was being persecuted, and they stopped coming to church because if people started seeing the Christians gather, they said, oh, there's one of those Christians. We need to round them up. We need to punish them. There was a threat against worshiping together, and some of them had been imprisoned. And the writer is saying, remember those in prison. And so that prison ministry, we might say, and those who are suffering, we need to remember those. So we worship the Lord and let brotherly love continue, hospitality to others, especially the stranger, remember those in prison and being mistreated. The fourth point he brings forward for the Christians to remember in their lives He says, let marriage be held in honor among all. Highly regard marriage. This gift that God has given to men and women to be married, honor that. And he reminds us there in that verse, God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Sexual immorality will be judged. Fellow Christians, as we look around what's going on with different definitions of marriage, different definitions of sexual identity, it will be judged. We live in an era when there's all kinds of confusion. But we ourselves should not be confused. We should keep straight in our minds exactly what God says a man is and a woman is and how they may be blessed with marriage. And that is our understanding as Christians as from our Heavenly Father. For even Jesus Christ said, don't you remember how God made marriage? That the man and the woman become one. From the beginning, he says in Matthew. Jesus himself said that. So we need to highly regard marriage. Not like everybody around us regards it correctly or appropriately, but we ourselves will. And in the fifth verse, he says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. And I have there in the notes, don't love money. Love what? Love God. If we love God, then we know what he gives us is good for us. He loves us. He's taking care of us. If we think we are not blessed enough, if we think that God's not watching over us, if we strive for so many things because we value that instead of value God, what does it mean? We don't love God then. We love these things. What are these things? These things are nothing compared to God. It doesn't mean we don't work hard. It doesn't mean that we don't give thanks for blessings. But it means we love God and we not love things. If we leave worship and we love things more than we love God, what does that mean? We've worshiped. These five things the writers to the Hebrews brings to those Christians, says, think about these things. Now, the power of this is that he says, for he has said, this is from verse 5, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The power to do these five things is that we actually believe that God will never leave us nor forsake us. If he will never leave me nor forsake you, we can continue loving one another. If we believe that God will neither leave us nor forsake us, we can love the stranger. If we believe that God will neither leave us nor forsake us, then we will care for those who are in trouble in prison or being mistreated. If we believe that God will neither leave us nor forsake us, then we will honor marriage that he has given among us. And if we believe that God will neither leave us nor forsake us, then we love him and know that he's taking care of us. The strength to do these things is this foundational belief that God is our Heavenly Father who sent his Son, forgives our sins by his death, promises us life through his resurrection. That is the strength to do these things. The world will say, if you try to be a good person, then you're acceptable to God. No, 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 no. We're acceptable to God through faith in Christ. But then having faith in Christ and worshiping him, we will love. We will give hospitality. We will consider those who are imprisoned and mistreated. We will honor marriage. We will love God, not things. That's who we are as Christians. These five things, they're pretty clear. They're pretty understandable. But the devil wants us to forget. The devil tempts us to do something else. But no, we have worshiped Jesus. And in our living, we will do these five things. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, you have promised, you will never leave or forsake us. And we ask you to build up this faith in your word and your promises to us, especially as your Son has died and risen for us. And especially as you have given us the promise of eternal life. Help us in our daily lives to do these things your word points us to do. Not to earn heaven, but because we have heaven. Not to earn your love, but because you love us. Help us to love one another. Help us to show hospitality. Help us to love and take care of those who are mistreated or in prison. Help us to honor marriage. Help us to love you. All these things, dear Father in heaven, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.